He's back, folks. The chief is back for another term. Kim Fuller, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks very much.
Good. Well, we you know, the doubt, it was uncertain, but we're happy that you re-upped for another year as the president of the board. We have seen a lot of good things happen over the last 2 years, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the challenges of the future. So with a community that's larger than the size of Indian Wells, there's always things going on. What are the hot issues right now?
Well, the miscellaneous improvements that are happening right away. The Montecito Clubhouse improvement, they're taking out furniture, carpet, wallpaper, lighting. So that's started. I think it just started this week. So there'll be some disruption. So hang in there. Should last about 6 weeks and all be put back. The tennis courts at the Santa Rosa, the pickleball courts, tennis courts 5 and 6 are being resurfaced. That should be done in about 3 weeks. So that was on the schedule. The board voted for a pool cooling device for the Santa Rosa pool. So that should be installed fairly soon. And what this does is basically the opposite of what a heater does in the winter. This cools the water in the summer. So the idea, the temperature of the water will be a little cooler. So
and it's a big deal. For the people who are here year-round.
For the people here year-round, I said, you know, the reason you have 5 board members is you get 5 opinions, and we don't always agree. I will tell you, I did not vote for this, but that's okay. If you all like it, I'll take credit. You know, that's what boards do, don't they? Right. So, but the board, yeah, by majority vote, did vote to put this in, so people year-round, that's
yeah, when I hear from the realtors that more and more buyers are planning to stay here year-round. So this is kind of an eye to the future
thing. Yeah, so from that viewpoint, it could help from a perception sales point of view. It's kind of interesting. I have an indoor running track at my own private club. I think a big reason I installed it was for the perception of the person buying more than the people using. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it does. You do have to make that evaluation. Yeah. It's a guess sometimes. So those are the, without going into the specifics of some other hot items, do you just want to go through? Do you want specific questions?
I know that the voting issue is high on the board's list.
Okay, with the voting, in the last election, first of all, congratulations to Linda Awesome. If you want to know how to pronounce her name, it's awesome. Linda Awesome Awesome, A-A-S-E-N. So welcome, Linda, to the board for 2 years. So, in fact, all you pool chilling people, she voted for it, so thank her. She was the deciding vote. The new board members made a change
and all
that.
That's good.
Okay, also in the election, we had 2 measures for 2 bylaw changes, a CC&R change and a bylaw change. And those measures was how we change the bylaws. For all intents and purposes, this was to change the bylaw on how we change the bylaws. The current rule is this. To change a bylaw, we need 51% of 3,450 homes in order to make a change. That means 1,760 affirmative votes. Here's the problem. Only 50 to 60% of the population turns out to vote. The highest voter turnout in the last 5 elections was 63%. Well, 63% of 3,450s, 21-something, 2,200 ballots, that means it takes 80% conversion rate to pass a bylaw. Well, I think that's just about impossible. So you can imagine if your state propositions required an 80% conversion rate. They require a majority of those voting. It's a different system. So the statutes, the California statutes, allow for us to petition the court to have these changed, have the court change it because the rules are too difficult. So we are now in that process of petitioning the court.
Is this a state court or federal
state court? Yeah, this is a state law. And so we'll petition the state court to request that the bylaws changed on how we change the bylaw. And we'll be petitioning the court on removing cumulative voting from our system. As it turned out, 70 to 80% of the people who voted wanted these changed. Now, that's a difference of about 1,000 voters. So to give you an idea, 500 vote for, 1,500 vote the other way. So 1,000 different, and we couldn't change it. So we'll be petitioning the court for those two changes. We are not able to petition the court for a CC&R change. They have different rules. So we're not allowed to do that. So it's the bylaws we're going to change. Cumulative voting and how we do business. Okay. So we should have an answer, and I'm going to say 3 months, 3 to 4 months, by the time we get through the process.
Is there any reason why they wouldn't approve it?
You know, interesting. Well, they're still going to they'll look at everything that we've done. We'll look at the stats. The attorney we've hired has not lost one of these. But you're pretty much petitioning with good statistical information. When 70 to 80% of those voting, and we've tried to get votes, want the change, that's when the courts are pretty sympathetic. And actually, interestingly enough, we're going through interviewing law firms right now. So we interviewed 5 different law firms. And in questioning all 5 law firms, all 5 seem to think we had a pretty slam dunk case, given the statistical information. Mm-hmm. So we're optimistic, but it could, you know, it depends on how many people oppose. I mean, if the residents can object, that's part of the hearing process. Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see. The more they object, the more it's going to cost. So that's how it works.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. So, okay. But I'm hopeful.
Okay, and so with luck, we'll have a decision by the end of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
3 to 4 months.
Okay, good.
Is the estimate.
Good. And I know we've hired a new landscaping contractor.
New landscape contractor started on 5/15. That's today, I think. Is that today?
Yes.
Today. Okay. Today. So it's a new company, Vintage. The landscape committee interviewed, I don't remember how many, 4 or 5 different companies. And in the end, it was decided that the existing number of people on site to do the work was not enough. We could have had a price of about the same amount, other than the inflation and minimum wage, but it would not have been an increase in manpower, which means there would be no change in the appearance.
Right.
So the new contract has an increase in manpower and an increase in supervision. It does mean an increase per home of about $3.50.
Okay.
So that begins right away.
And I mean, are there standards that the residents can be looking for, improvements that will be made over time?
Yes. Now, the landscape committee, along with the landscape architect consultant, along with the contractor, they'll be meeting to go over the problem areas and the plan on implementation. So that should be coming up in the next month. I would ask, you got to give these people a little time. Got to give them 3 to 6 months. These changes don't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. So they'll be formulating the plan on the problem areas, what's to be done, and then put that to work. We should know the outcome of that plan in the next 4 weeks, roughly. Okay. And then we can get back to everybody and say, okay, here's what they're looking for, and here's the problem areas. A problem area, I'll give you an example. Along Jefferson on the outside of the complex, we have not been putting down DG material. The problem is, you put down the DG material and the wind comes up and puts sand right on top. So it didn't seem to be like a good thing to do. They'll be looking at that. Are there alternatives? Or what do we do? How do we solve that problem? Or do we put something else down so it looks better than just sand and dirt? So that's a problem area that they're trying to investigate on appearance. So, but that will mean a little increase.
Okay. So, and you also hired a new security company, right?
And a new security company starts 6/1. And all the proposals of that were at a higher cost.
So was the was there dissatisfaction with what the old company was doing, or why did you change?
The Security Advisory Committee is the one who investigated, you know, all of the proposals along with the interviews, and at that point they felt one company stood out amongst the rest, and I think I should leave it at that.
Okay.
They felt one was better than the rest.
Okay.
That will be an increased cost of about $1 per house. Mm-hmm. Now, these increased costs I'm talking about don't go into effect until really next year. Mm-hmm. In the case of the landscape contractor, we put in extra money this year in the budget because we thought this was coming. We thought the increase in labor was going to force an increase. So we planned for it already.
Okay.
But next year, you know, it's going to impact us.
So you've been mentioning costs more than once in this interview.
Yeah.
Dues will go up next year for a number of reasons.
Dues are going up, folks. I wish I was the bearer of the best news in the world that they don't go up, but they will. We have some forces now that are working on us. One minimum wage, state-mandated minimum wage, is going up another dollar. That's like 8% all by itself. You have inflation running 1.5. That adds a little bit. Now, you couple that with, in a kind of big, simple idea, when you got very low unemployment and minimum wages going up, it's driving the other wages up. So all of our proposals are coming back higher costs. Now, our current dues are at 265, but the budget is 270. Let me make this clear for everybody. The budget last year for break-even, for this year is $270 a month. We had a surplus last year, $400,000, and we used $200,000 of that surplus to lower the dues from 270 to 265. That's why it's 265. But the baseline cost is 270. The landscape and the security contract all by itself is $5. That takes us from 270 to 275. Minimum wage and inflation will take us to 280. Just that. Mm-hmm. So we're probably looking at 280 to 285, and we can't stop that.
Yeah.
Given the pressures. We will try, but
yeah, but you know, we're still among the lowest in our end of the valley, right?
Yes, as far as the HOA dues themselves in comparison to other, we're still the second lowest there is. So as far as a market comparison, we still, for goods and services, for what we offer in costs, we're second lowest in the valley.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Deal,
it's a big,
you know,
deal.
I talk to people regularly who have moved here from PGA West, and lower dues is at the top of the list.
Now, we're going to try. We'll be as efficient as possible. But please don't have an expectation that they're going to stay the same. It's not possible. If we're going to have a nicer landscape, it's going to cost a little more. But the inflation, minimum wage, low unemployment's driving these forces. And so, you know, we're going to have to deal with that. And if we still want to have a nice place.
Yeah.
And
which
that's,
of course
that,
we
that
do.
Matters. We still want to have a nice place. So we're going to deal with that.
Okay. And the final thing that occurred to me is you're kind of in a unique position because you have a business that essentially does 90% of the things that we do here and as your hobby. And you've got two different markets. One is somewhat younger than the other. And so could you see things that we're going to need down the road? For example, we expanded the pickleball courts a few years ago. Do you see other things that younger people are going to want to see in a senior community that we don't have here?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I volunteered to be on the board was I think we all should contribute. Well, I'm not a good landscaper. I don't know about some of the other things. I just do facilities management, so it's easier for me to do this job as a volunteer. It's more of what I do, and I know. The senior market is still based on a different motivation than a younger market. Now, although my market up north in my private business is mostly families, but the 55-plus market is not motivated as a group by competition, vanity, and winning. That's the big key difference. Our senior market, we're motivated by social interaction, feeling better, friendship. We exercise not to win as a group. We exercise to feel better so we can play. Those are, as a group. Now, I mean, it's, we're competitive. We want to play. We're going to play golf and do that stuff. But that's a different motivation. Now, what it does mean is I might think that there's some equipment in the, you know, that some equipment you don't need in a senior living versus a younger place. Mm-hmm. A younger place will put in certain kinds of equipment for those, and you don't need it here. So that can be evaluated. As far as, I also think there's a very big difference. Although in my private business, I dealt with 10, 20, 30-year plans on the future on what to do. And I started out with 4,000 feet, and I'm at 52,000 feet. And that was planned over at the beginning to get to a goal. But I think a for-profit motivation based upon my money, my risk, is very different than a not-for-profit HOA. So a not-for-profit HOA, we have a responsibility to each other to maintain existing facilities and services. That's our responsibility to each other. That's the primary goal in my book. So I'm not a big proponent of strategic plans, which I consider a wish list, for an HOA not-for-profit. That's a different person should head that up. And there's some other board members who will. That then depends to me on if you want to put in new things, we got to get together with everybody and make sure there's a great majority who want that. But we need to try to make sure, because I am not a proponent of raising dues to $300 a month so we can have some new facility that nobody agreed to in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's, I have an indoor gymnasium. I wouldn't build an indoor gymnasium here, not at a cost of, $75 a foot. Right. Here's 75, this is a lot of money. $750,000. So I first priority, let's maintain what we have well, do it well. Mm-hmm. And then let the rest fall where it falls, given the times. Next couple of years, we've got a little uphill stream coming. We got forces acting upon us from a cost point of view we need to watch out for. And I'm a guy who likes to pay for everything that I'm responsible for first. And then if everything's going well, then you talk about how to spend additional surplus money. Okay. We don't have surplus money at the moment.
No, nor will we likely have in the
next
future.
Year. Yeah, so not in the next year.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in and updating us on everything. For the audience, if you enjoyed this, and it's especially if you have neighbors who are fearful or want to know what's happening with the dues next year, please ask them to tune into this podcast. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you.